Our Hebrew Bible lesson today is from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. It can be found on page 56 in your pew Bible. And if you're using the large print, it's on page 72. Hear these words. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion in the number of people who eat it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all of the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." The word of God for the people of God. Now, if you will turn in the back of your hymnal to page 861. We'll have a responsive reading of Psalm 148. It continues on page 862. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights. Praise the Lord, all his angels. Praise the Lord, all his hosts. Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise the Lord, all shining stars. Praise the Lord, highest heavens, and all waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded and they were created, who established them forever and ever, and fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and smoke, stormy wind fulfilling God's command, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creepy things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name alone is exalted, whose glory is above earth and heaven. God has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his faithful ones, for the people of Israel who are near their God. Praise the Lord.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. be found on page 152 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible, or on page 197 in the larger print edition. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment, are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Speaking of touchdowns, let's turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you to rise up on your feet as you are able. Let us turn to the gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Page 19 of the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. And on page 24 in the large print edition. We continue throughout this wonderful story of Christ's work. And this is Jesus speaking. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you're not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three of you are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. You may have heard this one, but I think it bears repeating today. There's a story about a man who had attended worship services for church for several years, and then he stopped going. After several weeks, the pastor went by to visit the man on a chilly night and knocked on the door. The man opened the door, and realizing why the pastor was there, he welcomed him in and invited him to sit. They sat down in two chairs in front of a roaring fire. The pastor did not say a thing. He just watched the flames dancing on top of the burning logs. After a few minutes, he took the fire tongs, grabbed one of the logs out of the fire, and laid it on the hearth. Still not saying anything, he sat back down, staring at the single log smoldering on the hearth. Soon, all the glow and warmth left the log, and it began to turn cold. After a few more minutes, the pastor got up again, took the tongs, grabbed the log, and put it back into the fire. Instantly, it burst back into flames. The pastor walked to the front door, turned, and said, "Good night." The man said, "Thank you for coming, Pastor. I'll be in church on Sunday." That's a good one, don't you think? Well, the point of this story is that we need to be together in church every Sunday in order to stay fired up for God. We need to be in community in order to keep the flames burning in our hearts for Christ. We've been talking a lot lately about personal piety, but we cannot forget the foundational importance of corporate piety as well. Jesus is calling us into community as the church, and also we're being called out into the larger community as the body of Christ. You've heard me say this many times, and it still is true. It is certainly possible to read your Bible and pray to God alone, but it is not possible to be a Christian, as Jesus instructs us, without being an active part of a community of faith. It is in Christian community that we can glimpse the amazing and blessed reality of the kingdom of heaven. And it is in Christian community that we slam into the mundane temptations and conflicts of human relationships. So what does it mean to be the church of Jesus Christ? Well, let's today turn to the scripture readings to highlight four aspects of Christian community. Let us consider traditions, love, reconciliation, and mission. When we come together in community, we are a people of God's traditions. This amazing reading from Exodus reminds us of the original story of God's Passover in Egypt and God's command that this tradition would be passed down through all generations of God's people. This day, Scripture says, shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. All of us under the roof of Burns Memorial UMC come from many different backgrounds and different cultures, but each one of us counts herself or himself as the spiritual offspring of these Israelites, these chosen people. We share in this history and in this tradition. Passover took on new meaning with the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and it is this fully realized Passover that we will celebrate today in our observance of Holy Communion. It is also our tradition that we share our monthly community meal today as well. We are a community of God's traditions. When we come together in community, we are a people of God's love. This first part of today's reading from Romans addresses how we are to reflect the law of the kingdom of heaven through divine love. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. I came upon a great commentary on this passage by Reverend Taylor Burton Edwards on the General Board of Discipleship website, and he says this: Paul's point here is less about finances than about relationships. He rejects any debt vision of relationships, endemic to many cultures, and he commends a countercultural Christian love vision. The debt vision defines neighbor as those to whom one owes something. The love vision defines neighbor as Jesus did, one to whom one may give, motivated by compassion and love. Live the love vision and the whole law is fulfilled and every neighbor is loved, not wronged. So many human relationships in our world are based on what I can get from that other person rather than on what I can offer to that other person. We can taste the kingdom of heaven when we live and work together in church in this vision of Christ. Because truly, we are a community of God's love. When we come together in community, we are a people of God's reconciliation and forgiveness. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is pragmatic in his understanding of human nature, and he spells out the correct approach to handling conflict within the church. Now, as much as we'd like to believe that Christians always behave as people of love and tranquility and peace, it is inevitable that there will be conflict in human institutions, even in the church, maybe especially in the church. I'm sure that's your experience as well. But because of God's love that binds us together, we are called to hold each other in grace-filled accountability when sin affects our community. As an example, there are six men who meet together every Saturday morning. We call ourselves brothers in Christ. One of the most valuable aspects of this brotherhood is that when one of us gets off the biblical track, we talk about that guy being off in the weeds. We gently and respectfully call it to his attention. As Jesus instructs us, we in the church should strive for helping each person stay true to God's call, on track with God's commandments, even when that gets uncomfortable. Our goal is always to seek God's pardon and draw each other back into the fold. We are a community of God's reconciliation and forgiveness. When we come together in community, we are a people of God's mission. The New Testament is clear in its overall message. Jesus is calling us into community as the church, and also out into the larger community as the body of Christ. Our mission as United Methodist people is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world and to share God's love in real and tangible ways. We are, by tradition, reason, experience, and scripture, commanded to be people of mission, reaching out to people in our immediate neighborhood, to people in the larger community, to people in our city, to people in our state, to people in our country, and to people in our world with the love and salvation of Jesus Christ. We are to feed the hungry, to seek justice for the oppressed, to visit the sick and the lonely, to offer hope to those in prison, and help those who are forgotten and lost, in the name of our Lord and Savior. Under this roof, we are three congregations, Burns Church, the Tonga Fellowship, and the Ghana Wesley Fellowship, and we are all the body of Christ, with largely unrealized possibilities in our combined mission work. But together in synergy with the Holy Spirit, there is unlimited potential in what we can do for Christ. We are a community of God's mission. My brothers and sisters, listen again to the words of our Lord Himself. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. And these words from Paul. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, let us walk together into the world wearing the armor of light and the salvation of Christ. Let us realize and live into our true Christian community. Amen.